take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Oh, boy, do we have a great show today, folks. I mean, we are locked and loaded with some great stuff. It's time for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast. Driven by your friends at BetOnline, your number one source for all your sports betting this season. NFL, bowl season, esports, NBA, you got it. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. Okay, where we start last night is Luka Doncic, who had an amazing 60-point effort as the time we record this last night. 60-point effort, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Bob Ryan, where does this rank in efforts, individual efforts that you have seen throughout your illustrious career?
Well, it's an all-timer. It's right up there with some of the greatest individual games, certainly that the league has known, I think. And the thing about this, though, to me, is I think we don't start with Luka. We start with Nikola, and then we talk about the fact that, are we talking about a middle European, anything you can do, I can do better? I mean, let's go back to Christmas Day, folks. No, actually, let's go back to the 18th of the month when Jokic and Nuggets were playing host to Charlotte, and he hit them with a 40-27-10 triple, which we thought was pretty good, in a four-point game. That's the other thing.
Right.
Then on Christmas Day, he went 41-15-15 in a three-point overtime win. Note this. Now we got Luka last night. The numbers are staggering, okay? 60 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists in an overtime comeback win. And he tied the game up to get it into overtime on and as a result, after having deliberately missed a free throw and all the ball being batted around, he heaved one from about 12 feet and it went in. Anyway, look, this guy is a marvel. He's not sculpted. Neither one of them. They're not sculpted.
That's what I was thinking. When you were saying that, that's exactly what I was thinking, Bob. It's like,
go ahead.
These guys' physiques compared to the rest of the top players in the NBA, they're in the gym, I'm sure, but they don't look like they're.
No, you know, it's like when you look at a guy like a good example of a big man who is, you know, extraordinarily overtly athletic, Embiid, yeah. Who I want to talk about him for we're done too, what he's doing. And he's an athlete and he's an excellent basketball player. These other guys are. They're athletic, you know, in a bird sense, the hand eye.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The intelligence.
They're good athletes.
Good, but they're basketball players. That's what they are. And there's a, you know, you, if you're both, you know, okay. But you don't have to be extraordinarily athletic in the sense that we have come to, you know, define it in the 21st century to be a good basketball player. And these two guys are obviously exceptional basketball players. The thing that I love about both of them, particularly Doncic, because he is smaller and he does face the basket and handle the ball actually directly more. He goes wherever he wants to go. Yeah. And he goes at his pace. I'm coming. You're not stopping me. I'm taking my time. You know, this is part of the deal. What makes it so fascinating to watch him.
You know what the incredible part is? His supporting cast. Mm. The second best player is Christian Wood. You know, yeah. Spencer Dinwiddie's a nice player, right? Yeah, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a nice player. But, like, this dude needs help. And maybe that's part of why he's putting up these, you know, ungodly numbers, is because he has to, and he's got the ball in his hands all the time. And you actually hear people criticizing,
right?
You know, the Mavs for that. Everybody else stands around and watches. Well, they don't. I mean, he does do a lot of dribbling, but he finds guys. He scores. He rebounds his position about as well as anybody in the league. And again, like, he might. I tweeted it last week. Tatum, you know, MVP front runner. Listen, it could change every game with these guys.
We've got a lot of worthy candidates this year.
That's right,
and that's fine. And you know, this is a discussion that 20 years ago wouldn't be taking place any earlier than the trading deadline at the earliest. You know, that's where we are now because of people like us and talk shows and the proliferation of media and competition and topics needed.
Well, I also think, Bob, it's that, but I also think the parity of the talent in the league has increased greatly. If you went 20 years ago, it was, well, let's do, you know, where are we then? I mean, that's the Michael, right?
That's 20 years ago was the Shaq Kobe era, you know.
Kobe. So, but generally, as I remember, and we could start with Larry and Magic, it was like Larry Magic, and really nobody else. Then it was Michael, and then Barkley a little bit. And then you went to Shaq and Kobe, but now you go across the league, and I think it is because of the European impact on the league, is you go from whether it's Memphis or Dallas or Denver or Boston or New Orleans or the Lakers on any given night or the Clippers. I mean, I was just looking at the standings. I mean, there's like a Hall of Fame stud on like 15 teams.
I wonder, Bob, why is that? Why do you think that is, that there's more guys across the league than just two dominant players, two or three?
I think it's, well, part of it's the globalization.
No question.
And I'm big on that. And also just the guys get inspired. I would like to think that Ja Morant, the little Ja Morant. Right. I don't know if you overlap, if you would have looked up to, say, Iverson. I think Iverson was an inspiration for some guys in at his time, sure. And we all know how many guys have been inspired by Kobe, you know, the current crop.
This generation.
They're inspired by these guys. Yeah. I mean, I never get tired of watching Ja Morant.
Well, I'm with you on that one, Bob. But, I mean, just real quickly, I mean, if you look in the East from the Celtics to the Bucks down to the Nets, which will get – the Cavaliers have studs now. I mean, Garland had, 46 the other night. The 76ers, and you're talking about Embiid. Yep. The Heat are in the eighth, but we know the Heat have players. Then, you go over to the West, and, you know, you go to Mavericks, Suns, Clippers, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Nuggets, and even, the Trailblazers, all-stars.
All-stars
on every team. Lillard has never been better when it comes to talent.
Lillard was on my top 75. He was one of my last selections. Zion is playing. He's on the floor, knock on wood, right now.
Yeah, Zion. Kawhi's coming back. You know, Kawhi's coming back now. And
right. Yeah. No, so, it's good. It's a bountiful.
Well, I wonder how much of this, too, guys, is when you're looking at the numbers now, it's a different league now where all the numbers are I don't want to say inflated, but they're obviously – offensively, they're so different than they've ever been. I wonder if that plays into it at all, too.
Sure. I mean, listen, people look. I mean, kids are coming out of the womb shooting a three.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. You got 7-footers. Everybody can shoot the three, right? I mean, everybody. That's pretty much
everybody but Ben.
Right. Well, yeah.
No,
I've been
keeping my eye on Ben. I want to make sure we touch on him before we get out of here today. But no, you're right. It's the world. Oh, of course. And I think the greatest. Well, I'm just throwing this in the conversation because he is a 7-footer who shoots threes. The most amazing career adjustment I have ever seen in all the years I've covered the league, 53 plus years, is Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
Going from being a textbook back to the basket aircraft carrier Al McGuire center into a guy who is a major 3-point threat. Look at just look at his career stats and how, you know, it wasn't even part of his thinking when he came into the NBA. And look what he's become. And the tribute to him. He did the thing that I wish Ben would do, but that's another story. So he's an example. Embiid is 3-point. Jokic is a 3-point shooter. Of course, Doncic is, but Jokic is 6'10", 6'11". No, it's the game now. It's the game. it's the game. And then the part B of this is, and we mentioned that Ja Morant. Once upon a time, there was a distance spot in the league that I called Curry Land, and he was the sole occupant. He was the only guy who operated in Curry Land. Well, guess what, folks? Trae Young operates in Curry Land, and he ain't the only one. And it's
yeah, he's not Steph Curry.
No, he's not. But he shoots.
He can make him from there. Yes, he can make him.
I'm
from
just
there.
Saying.
Well, at some point, maybe next episode, I do want to talk a little bit about Trae Young, because some of the speculation that he'll be the next. I think Chris Haynes put it out there. He'll be the next all-star to demand a trade. And where the league's going with that.
Okay, fine. That's good.
That's a big market tease right there. So as we pay homage to Luka, you wanted to touch, which was a terrific night again, 60 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Again, in a 126-121 win over the Knicks. You wanted to touch on Embiid, Bob. And before we move on to the Nets, I wanted to give you that opportunity.
Yeah, well,
the last three games, he's at 48, 35, and 44.
Take your, you know, don't sleep on Philly. Don't sleep on Philly. And I got Embiid here. Where the hell? Oh, here we go. His last three games, 44, 35, 48. And he can do it every which way. You know, he can put it on the floor and take it to the hoop. He can post up. He can face that three. He's a monster. And you know, he's also a character, which is fun, you know.
Yes.
And no, I don't know what he's like.
He's a blast.
I don't know what he's like, you know, if he's, I don't know. You tell me, but I enjoy
it. No, he's fun. He's fun. He's happy. He's always smiling. You know, again, I know a lot of people probably don't like him around the league because he talks a lot. And, you know, there'll be some you know, supposed cheap shots that he might take on the court. But Joel has always been one of those guys that just kind of embraces people. And I think that's the fun part. You need personalities in the NBA. And he's one of them. Because a lot of guys are, you know, I don't want to say too cool. But they are. They watch like Kobe, right? Like you said, Bob, right. They grew up watching Kobe, and Kobe was too cool, right? He didn't want to show too much. He wanted to be that guy that just, you know, was a stone cold, you know, killer in terms of, how his mentality was. So I think Embiid, to see his personality is a lot of fun. And again, there's nobody like Joel out there. There's when Joel is focused, there's nobody. Who can stop him? Nobody.
No, we know that the Celtics have had their hands full with him over
the
years. And if they were to play them in the playoffs, it would be a handful. A team I think I want to get to because clearly something's going on and good for them, and that's the Nets.
Right.
There was an interesting story in the New York Post on Tuesday of this week in which the thrust of it was, We're doing well because it's all about basketball.
Right.
And I think we all understand what that's referring to.
Bob, can I interject real quick? I also saw that it's their defense.
Oh, yeah. Well, they played none before. Absolutely. No. They played none before. Right. That's what, but they're, you know, that you know who is not distracting them. As a matter of fact, you know who. His last five games. You ready?
Go ahead.
32-38. Oh, four games. He sat out at the third game. His last four games, 32-38, 18-32. We're talking about Mr. Irving. He can play. I never forgot for 1 second when he was going through all his stuff last year. The guy can play. He's an all-time talent. All-time talent.
Yeah, I mean, the key is, again, getting those three on the same page, which apparently they've done at least this last stretch of winning 13 of the last 14. And you know, Ben Simmons can be what Ben Simmons is, right? If you have two of the best offensive players ever to play this game on the floor at the same time, you can afford to have Ben Simmons. We'll see in the playoffs if it catches up to him.
Oh, that's that he doesn't shoot. That's right. Here's his last four games assists 8, 8, 8, 8. Okay.
And look here's at rebounds. Look at rebounds.
Here's his last six games FGAs. You ready?
Yep.
975-795.
Yeah.
The guy knows who he is.
Yep. He does.
Now,
he does.
You know, I, of course, have an objection to.
You don't like it. Yeah. You don't like it, but it fits with those two guys better than any two players probably in the NBA right now.
Absolutely. It's a wise move for them that, you know, and so you got to pay attention to them. Now they've added a little extra added a component in TJ Warren,
who could score another
score. Yes. And you know that is coming off a 23 point game his last game. I looked him up. You know, he's one of those guys that you know you have to
he had be a great in, year 2 years ago. Then he got hurt. He got hurt in Indiana.
You know that he had a 3 year run of 19, 18, and 19 points a game. Well, I didn't. He just flew under my radar.
I remember how good he was in the bubble. Do you remember?
Now that you mention it.
Right.
Yes.
Now, he went bananas in the bubble.
I had forgotten that.
Then he got hurt, but he's perfect. Again, you throw him out there with KD and Kyrie, and then you got Ben Simmons with like Royce O'Neal or Claxton, one of those guys. And listen, the bottom line is Ben Simmons prior to the injury was one of the best defenders in the game, okay? Claxton is a good defender. Royce O'Neal's KD's a good defender. The only one of the group that sucks defensively is Kyrie. And TJ Warren's not a great defender either. But Kyrie is the one guy who cannot defend and will not defend out of that group. But the rest of them can. And if they're willing, like we'll see now. Like and give Jock Vaughn a ton of credit here because it was supposed to be Ime Udoka, according to a couple of the biggest media people out there who said it was going to be Ime. That fell through, and they settled for Jock Vaughn. But you know what? All it's about is, like, to me, managing people is the biggest thing for you know, whether it was Steve Nash. And Steve Nash was probably too nice a guy. My guess is Jock Vaughn kind of holds him a little bit more accountable. But, yeah, I mean, this team is rolling right now, and we'll see if they can continue it. And then we'll see what it looks like in the playoffs.
I mean, and there's additional firepower sitting in the wings with Seth Curry. Harris is hurt again. He may, I don't know if we'll ever count on him. I'll have to X him out of it for the time being. But Seth Curry will be back. They got firepower. They're starting to look like one of those teams you don't want to face in the playoff teams, you know, which you get in every sport, you know. You don't want to, but hey, you know, good for the mix. It's fine. I think they're very much for real.
I want to elaborate on Jacques Vaughn a little bit because I saw this, Jeff, and I'm paraphrasing here. We stripped the playbook. Guys are playing free of mind. Are you seeing that and your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, like I think sometimes too, it's just a voice needs to change, sometimes it's the right time and, you know, it had run its course with Nash and I'm not sure he was that unhappy. Also where for Jock Vaughn, this is another opportunity and, you know, kind of like Joe Mazzulla in a way, obviously Joe Mazzulla comes in with a better culture this year, but there were a lot of issues going on. Left behind from Ime that he had to kind of clean up. And, you know, it's a player's league now. We know that. Unless your name is Greg Popovich, you're not going to lay down the wood with these guys. You got to let them kind of at least feel like they're running the show. Maybe that's the biggest thing, right? Like make them believe they're running the show, but they're not quite running the show.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
All right, guys, quick break to remind you that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from the NFL and bowl season to esports. You get the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus. With your first deposit, make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, before we go, I just want to back up one more time. Just to point out the story, Luka Doncic will not turn 24 years of age until February 28th, 2020.
I mean, this kid could go down. I mean, at this pace, what he's doing, like, I mean – again, just at such an early age to be this dominant. And you know, part of it, I remember Mike Schmitz, who worked for ESPN, him telling me in that draft, he was like, he was touting Luka as the number one pick in that draft. And Mike's now with the Portland Trail Blazers, but just telling me like how far advanced he was at that young age from international competition.
Yeah, well, probably was 15 when he turned pro.
It's amazing. Again, like, but again, him and Tatum and Ja at such a young age to be this dominant, and they've got all it is health for those guys. And then there's some other young, you know, I tweeted that out. I said, like, these three are all under 25. And people were like, well, what about, you know, Shea Gilgeous Alexander and Anthony Edwards? I'm like, no, 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 those guys aren't in that category. Like, those three are in kind of a category by themselves right now in terms of players under 25. And I think you're splitting hairs to some degree when you try to figure out who's the best of the three. They're all different. I think most people would take Luka right now, and rightfully so. But Luka's also got the ball in his hands all the time. Tatum doesn't. You know, Ja's special too. He just does it a little bit differently than well, a lot differently than Luka.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Anyways, Bob, do you have something else, Bob?
Not something that's flashed across my mind, but it skittered out into the.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. I'm sorry, I missed you. Okay. Anyways, the Celtics did beat the Rockets. That's really not the discussion, but the Celtics have turned it around in that. You know, Bob, the Bucks, that was a statement game. It amazes to me, you know, the Celtics are still on top of the East, despite that little, you know, speed bump that they had, which at the time looked like a brick wall. You know, I was like, oh, my God, are the wheels going to come off? Well, I didn't feel are the wheels going to come off, but I was like, okay, when are they going to, you know, we knew they'd be back. But then the winner of a Milwaukee was much needed and seemed to set them back on track after two losses to Orlando.
Yeah, they I wasn't panicking. I wanted to, but I definitely thought that they needed to show up against Milwaukee, and they did, and that was very reassuring. But you know, go look at the 3-point shooting. I'm sorry, live by it, die by it thing.
Yeah, I still was,
what ultimately still worries me about this team in the long run. And although we're going to get to a new component that changes things, but they were shooting at an extraordinarily high rate in the beginning of the year. And, you know, there had to be a market correction, and we had that severe market correction in that stretch that you just alluded to. Yeah. And even the first half last night, there was another dreadful first half shooting before they, you know, and all that, but there, I was reassured about that. Now let's get to the big addition. Because when they were there
last night, right? You were there.
I was there last night.
Yeah, not a big time win, but there was something that you saw.
By the way, talking about youth, the team that Steven Silas put on the floor, the elder statesman of the starting lineup was 22 years of age.
Wow,
Kevin Porter Jr. And ranged from 19. By the way, Jalen Green, he's pretty damn good. You told me, Jeff Goodman. You sold him to me. I didn't, but I like him a lot. You have to like him. Okay, folks. You can't overestimate how important Robert Williams is going to be to this team if they're ever going to win a championship in the year 2023. Robert Williams already has made significant contributions to this team, and he does stuff they can't get anywhere else. You know. First of all, they're not a good rebounding team in general terms. You know that they have nobody in the top 20. I think it's 20. The leading rebounder statistically, I think, is Tatum with 8 a game. Okay. Now they got a guy that gets the ball and makes – he keeps balls alive. There was a great sequence last night with a back tap, boom, for a 3-pointer for Grant Williams. Stuff like that. He's been doing it – and he's been doing it from the minute he came back. Even in the loss games, he was making contributions. Last night, you know, look at the rebound totals. He had 10 in the first 11 minutes he was on the floor. You know, he's running around on guarding six different guys of defense at once. They need this guy. This guy changes a lot. A lot.
Yeah. No, he gives anybody a different element, right? I mean, Al Horford is almost the complete opposite of Robert Williams in a lot of ways, right? You're not throwing lobs to Al Horford.
No. You're throwing lobs.
He's a bailout guy on offense, where if you get in the lane and you don't know what you're doing, you can just kind of throw it up there and go let him get it. He'll get it on his own anyway, off the offensive glass. And then defensively, he gives you what you haven't had, which is a rim protector and a rebounder.
Yep.
Now, the biggest question for me is, will he be healthy when it matters most?
Of course, that matters to me. Keeping him on the floor has been the entire story for his career here. And that's it. To me, a stark reminder of his importance is what we're looking at here. I don't think we can overstate, you know, that how important he can be. And whenever going, I wrote this and I'll say it and repeat it here. When they were at their peak, which was up 45 points in Phoenix, you know, that team wasn't winning the championship. They're winning only if they have Robert Williams.
Right, right. I agree. I mean, you know, you might get to the finals or something like maybe without Robert Williams, but to me, the game changes in the playoffs. We know that. The game changes. And again, it worries me that they are so three-point reliant,
right?
This team. And now with Robert Williams, not that he's a huge offensive piece, but he gives you that different dimension that you don't have to be quite as offensive. Even if you're – he can go up there and get those offensive boards. And again, he'll make it tougher for other teams to score. Would you play him – like if you're Joe Mazzulla and coach last night, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Joe's an eye issue.
Okay, Jeff, we just lost you for a second.
I was struggling through his pregame. His
okay,
eye was
now
bothering
Jeff's me. Back. Jeff's back. Gotcha. Go ahead, Bob. What did Jeff, what were you talking about with Mazzulla?
That he had he didn't coach last night because he had some eye issue with his eye right before the game.
Yeah, he also was I read in the paper this morning saying he's not committing to starting Robert Williams in the short, at least in the – which it's all about how many minutes he's on the floor. I'm not going to overstress on that at all. We want to restrict his minutes anyway.
Right.
You know, so that's and right
I
now.
Wouldn't play him, honestly.
I like the way they're using him.
I would not have him ever see 30 minutes a game in the regular season. I don't think there's any reason for it. You have Al Horford. You got enough guys unless you're Al Horford.
Luke Kornet is not a
he's fine. He's fine.
You know,
listen, we could play you. Hey, Bob, we could play you next to Tatum, Brown, Brogdon, and Smart. And you might give up a few on the defensive end, but you'll be fine.
Oh, by the way, what I'm about to tell you is it's not in any way meant to be judgmental. It's just curious. It hit me when I at one point in the game last night, Jaylen Brown had 28 points at that moment. In addition to which, he had 0 rebounds and 0 assists at that moment. That is an odd line. That's all. Now, he eventually got a couple of assists, and if the assist didn't surprise me. The rebounds did, but anyway, it was jumping out at me. 28-0-0. Anyway.
All right, and by the way, Bob, I do want to wrap up the show quickly. I think that your personal connection with the league over the years, people found very interesting. And obviously it was emotional for you last night to see Stephen Silas there as the Rockets coach, who is Paul's son. Paul recently just passed away, one of the Celtic greats.
I had intended to go to this game as far back as 3 or 4 weeks ago anyway, but I knew I had to go to this game once Paul passed, that Stephen was coming and pay my respects. And I'll tell you what, it was emotional for me. I didn't anticipate this kind of reaction because I have now that young man, I've been in his presence minimal times. The first time was when he was about, I told you I played Nerf ball on my knees with him in Paul's house in Seattle, you know, when he was like an infant, a toddler, excuse me. And then we did a podcast 2 years ago, before last season. I've never been in his presence that much to see him. And I'm sitting there looking at him up on that podium last night in the visitor's coach's room. And I'm looking at, oh my God, he is a younger, his face now, he's growing, he's 40 years old. You know, that's dad. And I hadn't ever seen it. And it just hit me because I'm so emotionally tied to Paul Silas. And I was choked up. And I personally was. And of course he is so intelligent and he spoke so eloquently about his dad. And it touched me. I have to tell you, it really did.
On that note, gentlemen, have a happy new year. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you again next week.